Everyone will stand for the scripture reading. It's Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You may be seated. On April 24th, President Trump gave this terrible promise to the American people at a speech at a Holocaust Remembrance Day at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Prior to Trump's speech, Stas Kotler, the chief executive of Bend the Arc Jewish Action, slammed the decision to give the president a spotlight at the United States Holocaust Museum. Quote from him, Donald Trump and his administration have embraced the rhetoric and agenda of white nationalism, she told the New York Times. This is not someone who deserves the platform of speaking at a National Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust, unquote. Pledging to confront anti-Semitism in all its forms and to, quote, never be silent, unquote, President Donald Trump on Tuesday, April 24, 2017, quote, denounced as accomplices to horrible evil anyone who denies that 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust, unquote. What did he just say? He will denounce as accomplices to horrible evil anyone who denies that 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. Well, that is us. The president will denounce us as being accomplices to horrible evil. Trump continued, the Nazis massacred 6 million Jews. Two out of every three Jews in Europe were murdered in the genocide. This is Trump talking. It's a quote from his speech. Millions more people were imprisoned and executed by the Nazis without mercy. Yet even today, there are those who want to forget the past. Worse still, there are even those filled with such hate, total hate, that they want to erase the Holocaust from history. Those who deny the Holocaust are an accomplice to this horrible evil and will never be silent. We just won't. We will never, ever be silent in the face of evil again, unquote. Let's just think a little bit about what the president said. If 6 million out of the 9 million Jews in Europe were killed in the concentration camps, what happened to the other 3 million that were left? Most of the surviving remnant of European Jewry decided to leave Europe. Several million Jews established new lives in Israel, the United States, Canada, Australia, Great Britain, South America, and South Africa. If you add these numbers up, plus about 1 million Jews who died in the war outside of concentration camps as soldiers and civilians, there should have been a total of 0 Jews now living in Europe. The world population was 15 million in 1929, but it reached an estimated high of 18 million in 1989, an increase of 16%, which would have been impossible if 6 million Jews died in concentration camps in World War II. But don't let facts get in the way of Jewish propaganda. Trump continued in his speech, quoting again, this is my pledge to you. We will confront anti-Semitism, he said. We will, one, stamp out prejudices. Two, we will condemn hatred. Three, we will bear witness. And four, we will act. As President of the United States, I will always stand with the Jewish people. And I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the state of Israel. Unquote. Well, I'm going to use this for several sermons because this is atrocious. What does the President of the United States say that we are being a great friend and partner to? He said the state of Israel. Trump really means the Jews. That is who he means when he says that we are being a great friend and partner to the Jews, the people who were the victims of the great Holocaust. But who was a Jew anyway? Where do they come from? Does the Bible say they come from Adam and Eve? Or does it make any difference? Who are all those people in the Bible anyway? There are Canaanites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Egyptians, Ammonites, Moabites, Persians, Assyrians, Syrians, Cushites, Greeks, Romans, Ishmaelites, Israelites, Edomites, Phoenicians, Turks, Hamites, Mizraimites, Ethiopians, House of Israel, House of Judah, and there are many other people who are not talked about very much in the Bible, like the Negroes, Chinese, Japanese, Tibetans, Ashkenazim, Aztec, Zulus, and etc. Who are these people today? Do they still have descendants who are alive? Most of the world, including many fake or deceived Christians, believes that all races of people come from the same beginning. Adam and Eve are Noah and Lameth, his wife. When asked what race was Adam or Noah, the most common answer is brownish. They believe that all races came from these two representatives of all the races. When the exact first one of their race appeared, whether white, black, or oriental, is unknown, as it would take both a male and female to produce an offspring of kind after kind. How two brownish people, male and female, can produce two pure white Caucasians and pure black Negro people and pure Orientals and no longer do it anymore is a mystery, even to the proponents of this popular view. How could two brownish people produce a white and a black offspring if it was kind after kind? And the difference isn't just about skin color. There is the size of the lips, hair color, shape of the hair shaft, hair thickness, the shape and thickness of the skull, the thickness of the skin, the capacity for the brain, the color of the brain, the flatness of the nose, the slope of the teeth, the differences in the clavicle, humerus, radius, pelvis, tibia, firmer and flattening of the feet, and certain diseases that affect only one race and not the others. All these conditions have been inherited. And there is the strange group of beings in the Bible, at least to many Christians, referred to as the beast of the field. What race or races are referred to in these terms? Were they created before or after Adam? The Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Girgashites, Hittites, Hivites, Amorites, Edomites, etc., were all born after Adam and Eve were created. So it's not in any of them, then who is it? Let's look at what the scripture says about them. So the topic today is going to be the beast of the field. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God has said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent, which was not an ordinary serpent, was more subtle than any beast of the field. Well, who was the beast of the field? The serpent, if a snake, had no vocal cords. A snake cannot speak and think. The serpent didn't have ears either, so he was unable to hear. The word translated serpent in the Bible means enchanter or a person who whispers a magic spell. Strong's Concordance 5172, 5173, and 5175. The serpent was not a dumb, deaf, mute beast. He could think, hear, and talk. And when he did speak, neither Adam nor Eve nor God was surprised by his ability to communicate. No such explanation is given in the third chapter of Genesis concerning any vocal ability of a snake. No elucidation is given of how a snake could speak in its own voice or by supernatural means. The word for serpent is a word that God commanded for his people to have nothing to do with, an enchanter. Leviticus 16:26 says, you shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall you use enchantments nor observe times. Satan the serpent employed seductive means to lure away Eve from worshiping and serving her God. He gave her the choice to participate in his false religion, which included perverted sexual experiences. Adam sinned too, after the manner of his wife, but he wasn't deceived. He just wanted to be with her. Satan's false religions most often included temple prostitutes, orgies, and homosexuality. God commanded Israel to utterly exterminate the Canaanites because they filled the land with these very abominations. These abominations were of a sexual perverse nature. But the serpent was not one of the beasts of the field. Exodus 23, verse 10 and 11. And 6 years thou shalt sow the land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. What a command. God gave to his covenant people the ordinance that they were to rest every seventh year. Why? One reason is that we need it. Rest is very important for us. It is important for the body to be able to revitalize itself. We must keep a Sabbath to have good health. What's another reason for this command? This was a command for farmers of the land and their vineyards and olive orchards. Let the land rest. Don't plow and plant crops for yourself on the seventh year. Let the poor of your people, Israelites, pick it. And after them, let the beast of the field pick the fruit and have something to eat. Even the land needs rest. Could the beast of the field be some horse, sheep, goat, deer, cattle, or a bear? But if they were, wouldn't they just wreck the plow fields, vineyards, and olive orchards? Wouldn't they do more damage than just gather some food for themselves to eat? Wouldn't the beast of the field destroy many of the vines and trees and crops by stepping on them and destroying them if they were medium-sized animals? Don't we have to separate the beast of the field from domestic and wild animals to answer this scripture? And what would the Israelites eat the seventh year? The sixth year would provide a double harvest. The Israelites would prepare food from this huge harvest and eat it for 2 years. Joel 1, verses 18 through 20. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame have burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. For the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Job makes a clear distinction between the domestic animals, verse 18, and the beasts of the field, verse 20, when he describes the great drought that was sent in judgment for all the sins that Israel had committed. The beast of the field cries unto the Lord. How does a wild or domestic animal do this? Jonah, verses chapter 3, verses 6, 7, and 8. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. The king of Nineveh, after being told by Jonah that Nineveh would be overthrown in 40 days, immediately took off his robe and dressed in sackcloth and sat in ashes. He then added that man and beast should follow the example that he had just done. He also said that man and beast and herd and flock were not to drink or eat anything and turn from their evil ways. But he didn't tell the herd and flock to cry unto God. He said that man and beast should cry unto God. How could a horse or cow cry unto God and turn from their evil ways? Exodus chapter 9, verses 6, 8, and 9. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blands upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. After all the cattle of the Egyptian had died, the ashes from the furnace became dust, which caused boils upon the Egyptians and upon the beast. The beast that contacted the boils couldn't have died couldn't have been any of the cattle, for all the cows of Egypt were dead. So who did the boils break forth on? Exodus chapter 19, verse 12 and 13. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. These two verses are talking about the conditions of meeting with God in the mount. All of Israel was to wash their clothes and sanctify themselves before God was to come to visit their representatives on Mount Sinai. There was a boundary that was to be set. And if any man or beast crossed this boundary, he was to be executed, either by stoning or shot by an arrow. It was a capital offense to touch the boundary. A beast would not have knowledge that he was not to touch it, which is why it says, quote, there shall not a hand touch it, unquote. A domestic beast does not have a hand. It has a hoof, paw, or a claw. But the beast mentioned in these verses has a hand, and he would be slain if he touched the boundary of the mount. Revelation 5:14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened up one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. In these two verses from the book of Revelation, we have four beasts who are associated with the 24 elders who are giving honor and praise to the Lamb of God. These beasts are also able to communicate by talking. How could they be a wild or domestic animal? Could a wild or domestic animal, neither a wild or domestic animal can talk unless it was supernaturally given the ability like Balaam's donkey. Ezekiel 29, verse 11. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. Nebuchadnezzar did not conquer the Egyptians until about four decades after the fall of Jerusalem. So from the end of the war with Judah until the time it took to cause the desolation in Egypt was about 40 years. Notice that an animal or a beast does not have a foot. It has a paw, hoof, or claw. But this beast had a foot like a man did. So this must have been a two-legged beast. Leviticus 20, verse 15 and 17. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Well, now it's getting serious. God commanded his covenant people that if anyone had sexual relations with a beast, then both should be executed. I have known one person who testified to me that he had relations with the beast. But there are a multitude of people I know who had relationships with another kind of beast. It became an important question then as to who is a beast. Very few Israelites have had sexual relations with an animal, but many, many more have lain with a woman of another race. How many more Israelites are guilty of this capital sin if the beast is a person of another race? Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They, the beast of the field, shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know what the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Who would make Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass as oxen? It would be the beast of the field. No four-legged animal could make any two-legged person eat anything. So who was it? When Nebuchadnezzar reached the limit of God's patience, he received the crushing sentence of temporarily insanity for 7 years, during which time he was to live in the fields with the beasts and be fed grass by them as if he were an ox. Animals could not have forced him to eat grass or cared for him, even with the primitive treatment he received. Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. And behold, I establish my covenant with you, referring to Noah, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. Noah facing the mountain and his task of building the huge ark with its heavy timbers, and later the storing of food and the loading of all those animals into the ark would have required more heavy labor than he and his three sons could have provided. Hence, the beasts of the earth must have been included in the numbered occupants to help with all the heavy work that was needed to be accomplished and the feeding and caring for the animals in the ark. But the Bible is silent about what the beasts of the field did if they were on the ark. Numbers 13, verse 3. Now it came to pass when they heard the law, they separated from Israel all the mixed multitudes. Remember that Ezra and Nehemiah, upon the return of Judah from their captivity, would not permit anyone to work on the temple except those who could prove that they were pure Israelites. But there was the exception. But that was the exception. We have done the same thing as Israel of old. We have failed to keep God's law, particularly in our charity and social work. We have believed the lie of social equality and multiculturalism. Who were the mixed multitudes that ancient Judah refused to let work on the rebuilding of the temple? But were the mixed multitudes the same as the pure beasts of the field? I don't think so. But they could have included interracial marriage between the beasts of the field and other races. Nevertheless, Israelites were commanded to have no sexual relations with both groups of people. In our short examination of Scripture, we have found the following about the beasts of the field. The beast of the field talked, Revelation 12, 14, 6, 1. The beast of the field has a hand, Exodus 19, 13. The beast of the field has a foot, Ezekiel 29, 11. The beast of the field was afflicted with boils like a man, Exodus 9, 9. The beast of the field you could trust in your plowed fields, vineyards, and olive yards, Leviticus 23, verses 10 and 11. The beast of the field you could have unlawful sexual relations with, Leviticus 20, verse 15 and 16. The beast of the field could put on sackcloth and ashes and cry unto God, Jonah 3, 8. The beast of the field was associated with man and doing evil, Jonah 3, 9, 3 verse, chapter 3, verse 8. The beast of the field was in the presence of the Lamb of God, Revelation 6, 1. The beast of the field lived with King Nebuchadnezzar 7 years, who fed him grass, Daniel 3, 22. I skipped that one. Let us conclude this short study of the beast of the field by reading part of a psalm by David. It is Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. When I considered the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. David says that God's covenant people are given dominion over the beast of the field. Who are these beasts? Are they domestic animals? Are they wild animals, or are they pre-Adamic two-legged beings who have been living on this earth longer than the Adamic race? And have you ever taken the time to think about what these races of people did before Adam came? Wasn't Adam given dominion over these people? Adam oversaw the Garden of Eden. There were four rivers that flowed through Eden. Wouldn't there be more work to do to keep the garden in order than for one man to do it all? Wouldn't he need the help of others to keep the garden in good condition? Yes, these beasts have a longer history on the earth than the covenant people of God. God's people go back only about 6,000 years. The beasts of the field have been here before Adam was placed on the earth. The beasts of the field are the pre-Adamic races, all having a different colored skin, black, yellow, brown, or red. Scripture at times speaks figuratively and symbolically, employs parables and allegories, and uses figures of speech. Certain truths God does not state outright because deeper mysteries of Scripture are reserved for those who diligently apply themselves as the man seeking for the pearl of great price. God also does not want the enemy, the tares, the dogs, the wolves, the snakes, the vipers, and the swine, to know that we know the truth. Otherwise, they would persecute us even more wickedly than they do at the present. The book of Revelation, as most Bible scholars admit, is written in highly symbolic language. So is the first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. Further, using symbolic language and not giving us all the details of early history adds to the mystery of the narrative and presents Scripture in a manner that conveys the ancientness of time when these events happened and a gradual progression of understanding. Was Adam the offspring of a lower form of animal, as the evolutionists teach? Never. Adam was created as a mature man. He was never born. He never had a mother. Adam was created as a mature man. He was never born. He was never an infant. He was never a child. He was never an adolescent. He was never a teenager. He was never a young man. He was placed in the garden as a mature man without any earthly parents. Adam didn't have a wife either. There was no one on the earth that he could marry, kind after kind. Where did Eve come from? Was she the offspring of a lower form of animal? No. Eve came from Adam's body. God made her out of a part taken from Adam's body. They were both the same race, so they could reproduce kind after kind. And before the flood of Noah, all the descendants of Adam lived almost 1,000 years. So how is evolution a fact? It isn't. It's a lie straight from the bowels of hell. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here we have a very important revelation, which sadly many people wrongly interpret. Some people claim from this verse that the serpent was a beast of the field. By this they mean the serpent was one of the more primitive forms of life, modernly considered human. These people are ones who did not descend from Adam, but were created before Adamkind, along with all other living creatures. The point of error that some incomprehensive make is this passage does not say that the serpent was a beast of the field. But clearly says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Notice also this passage does not say that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The language is clear. His level of rational thought and cognitive powers was of a very high order. That he was very cunning and crafty, more intelligent than any living creature of the field. The serpent was an order of creation both separate from and well above mere animal life. And nowhere in the scripture record are we told that Satan entered or possessed the serpent. Those who claim that Satan did this execute an error of logic. In the New Testament, whenever Satan or demons possessed any person or creature, Scripture clearly informs us of such invisible, diabolical, spiritual activity. For example, Luke 22:2, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. Moreover, when the demons possessed people, sometimes the person who was possessed was rendered unable to speak. For example, Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a demon. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb spake. This, of course, is entirely different than a demon possessing an animal and giving it the power of speech. And later, God would have to forever curse the animal. No such example was in the scripture. Satan did not possess a snake. Satan was called the serpent, the enchanter. 2 Corinthians verses 6, 17, and 18. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean people. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The insertion of the word thing, which is in italics in your Bible, is incorrect. God was not talking about things, he was talking about people. Separating from alien peoples is a requirement to be part of God's family. Only by not touching, mixing with, reproducing with the unclean people are any Israelites considered. By rejecting God's commandments and amalgamating with aliens, God then divorces such people from himself as not being his bride, disowns them as his children, and cuts off their branch from the family tree forever. Modern compromising, corrupt Christians who are in love with the world and their sins and the results of their sins more than they are in love with God, modern Christians will with venom reject God's command or his people to separate, and those who don't being cut off from the family tree forever. When Christ returns, he will declare to the holy angels concerning those who reject God's commandments. Luke 19, verse 27. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. The modern corrupt Christian church has characterized God by taking one of his attributes, love, and drawing a distorted picture of him as if that is the only attribute that he has, and reduced him to a harmless children's cartoon figure. God had even informed his people that he separated them by design at creation from all other peoples, even as he separated clean animals from unclean animals. Clean animals are not related to unclean animals. They have no common ancestor. Leviticus verses chapter 20, verse 25 and 26. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. My conclusion. The serpent in the Garden of Eden who tempted Eve was not a snake or a reptile. Neither was the serpent a mere allegory. Neither did Satan possess a snake. Neither did Satan disguise himself as a snake. No literal snake of any kind was involved. Genesis, like many books in the Bible, was written with many symbols and parables. This was to protect the covenant people of God from holy persecutions from their enemies. Who their enemies are, even though there are many, is hidden from a casual, quick reading. One must read and meditate on what he has read to learn the great truths of the Bible. This is certainly true as one tries to identify who the beasts of the field are. The modern delusions within Christendom called the Universal Brotherhood of Man and the Universal Fatherhood of God are heresy and false doctrine nowhere supported in the Word of God. These doctrines are misunderstandings read into the Word of God by those who are confused and who cannot follow a storyline. It is also promoted by those who are basically dishonest and hate the truth. Many who hold to these Freemasonic Talmudic doctrines are those who attempt to invent their own religion, but still dishonestly call it Christianity. The truth is that God is only the father of Adam Israel. He has promised to only preserve, and he has unconditionally promised to never disown them, though he has also promised to chasten them to repentance when they sin. God chose no other people to be his people and his children. He did not choose the beast of the field, the Canaanites, the Edomites, and all the people they have intermarried with, the mongrels. All races did not descend from Noah or from Adam because it is a genetic impossibility and violates Scripture. The history of the world has been the battle between commandments, between what commandments are going to prevail in society. Satan has attempted to entice men to do his bidding rather than obey God, and thereby has attempted to utterly erase God's very image from his creation so that it bears no resemblance to what he created. It is for this reason that mongrelization of the white race has been kicked into high gear, along with the hybridization and genetic alteration of nearly every area of life that God created, and the perversion of every single aspect of God's creation. Perversion has been placed on a pedestal, and race mixers, homosexuals, and transgenders are held in the highest esteem as the perfect ideal, while those who maintain the purity of their bloodlines and maintain the gender roles that God established as the only morality are revealed as the evilest people in society. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. This will be continued.